The Two Seasons, Marewell 19, 348, Volume 32, Number 247. Kindlip Tierneville, Editor and Proprietor, 5 Clips. Hander Wim presents Nikki Savage and the Compass of Spirits. In my last letter, the haunted man, my two faceless immortal companions, and I saw the coin-shot Villa Mechant grab the compass of spirits and throw herself off a stone outcropping into the mists. The aluminum key that activated it, however, was still with me. Knowing Vila would be back, I entrusted the key to the haunted man, who used his hell guns to launch himself to another outcropping, leaving me to convince my faceless friends I had a plan. Which, of course, I did. Chapter 8. Flight of the Ornasar. Kisun rolled her eyes.
Exactly how do you expect to follow Vila and lure her out?
The aluminum bonsoir lifted from the Ornasar quarry, I said, patting Tabar's giant backpack. He groaned deep within his corpulent body.
Oh, no.
You are incredible at imitation, I said encouragingly. Remember when you were human, the Koloss, in A Hero for All Ages? You were masterful. You can do this.
He can't, said Kisun, folding her arms. Not without me. I'm the one with experience impersonating birds.
Turning to Tabar, she said, If you are willing to yield some control to me, then we can carry Miss Sauvage across this abyss.
But the rest of my collection,
he said, the bag of bones shifting on his back.
We'll return for them, said Kisun, with a compassion in her voice she reserved only for Tabar. I promise.
She raised an eyebrow at me. Will you kindly look away? She asked. We'd rather you not see us when we...
Merge, said Tabar.
What followed was one of the strangest things I've ever encountered, stranger even than the beast of Belmon Couture, or that time when I was Allomancer Jack's assistant. Continued below the fold. The Two Seasons would like to retract our dear editor Kindlip Tierneville's comments of 2 weeks ago prior to her disappearance, when she compared our beloved mayor to an irascible boar, no smarter, less attractive, and unable to keep from rolling around in every mire he comes across.
Elendil Supremacy Bill threatens Basin unity. Unity or division? Progress or perniciousness?
Caption, The Governor and Vice Governor. In a matter of days, Elendil's Senate will vote on what Bilming's top political mind, Professor Garvin Moons, has called the most monumental change to our government structure since the words of founding. Days of speeches, debates, and posturing are planned leading up to the vote, and the eyes of the outer cities are focused on the so-called Lawman Senator of the Ruffs, whose recent visits north of the basin have solidified his stance with which many outer city dwellers concur. Representation before supremacy. Governor Varlance and his cronies vehemently oppose this tack, their views summed up in Vice Governor Adawathwin's bold opening remarks that we'll need a strong, experienced leader when war comes to us from our masked southern friends. Admiral Yanis of the Malwish Nation looked visibly shaken and did not return after the Senate's following recess. When Barlens was asked if he too thought the basin might be headed toward war with the Malwish, he merely patted his chest where he'd conspicuously hung his military medals. Continued on back.